Welcome to Truth Quest with Melody, and we're on KHEN LP 106.9 Salida, Colorado, and we're streamed on the internet at khen.org, and Truth Quest programs are archived at www.givemesometruth.info. And I've got a very special guest this evening, but before I do, I need to say that the views expressed on this program are those of myself and of my guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the KHEN staff, volunteers, or board of directors. But again, going back to the special guest I have this evening is a whole new arena I've never stepped into before, and this is going to be a fascinating interview, and I've got Tim Turner on, and he is, Tim, how about me just letting you tell the public what you're doing and a little bit about yourself?
Well, thank you, Melody, for the opportunity to be on your show. There's not really a lot to tell about me. I'm just an old country boy from Alabama that didn't like the way that things were going in our country. So came from a commercial fishing background, fourth generation, and we were harassed terribly back in the 70s and 80s by the Game and Fish, or actually called it the Department of Natural Resources back then in Florida. And in one decade, they passed about 200 laws against the fishing industry in an effort to put us out of business, and that's when I began to study law. And try to understand how to defend against these things, these unlawful actions of the Florida Department of Natural Resources. And as a result, I learned quite a bit over a few years and began to be very successful in defending against these things and started helping not only myself, but my friends. And that kind of led me into a background that I'm in today with the government, studying how can we fix the problems that we have. I started a group called the Constitutional Americans back several years ago, almost 20 years ago, and down in Florida. And we struggled for a long time, finally got a pretty good membership and started going into the courts and fighting the court system and the illegal things that were going on and making a lot of progress. And I continued to study law, and still today I still study law and learn more and more about how to make America what it should be. Learned a lot about how the government was structured. I learned a lot about how we went wrong and how things went in a direction that was contrary to our Constitution and the law of the land. And as a result, I started teaching seminars of helping people. After I came to a certain point, I started sharing the information I had learned over the years with people across America. And I found there was a great desire to change our nation back into something that was positive again. More than 70% of the population of this country think something's wrong. Most of them don't know exactly what is wrong. They just know something's wrong. And not only do we know what is wrong, we know how we got there, and we also have the solution. And that solution is the republic for the United States of America. We have re-inhabited that lawful republic in 2010. The offices are filled. All but just a few. We are moving forward. We had elections. I was elected as the president. We have a full cabinet. We have governors in all the states, except two or three states, which we're working on. But we have a majority in Congress, a lawful quorum. We met in November last year, adopted our laws, and we're moving forward. We also are being recognized by foreign nations as the lawful republic of this nation. And I guess that, in a nutshell, is what I'm doing today, Melody.
Well, you didn't do this without a little bit of people making comments. Opposition is the term I want.
We've had tremendous opposition. But what we're doing is right, and what we're doing is lawful. And so the opposition didn't really bother me a whole lot. We knew that it was the right thing to do. America is in very bad trouble. It's in economic chaos right now. The corporation didn't want, most people don't realize that we have a corporation acting as a government in Washington, D.C., that was put in place without lawful agreement and approval by the people of this nation in the years 1868 through 1871, right after the Civil War. We were taken over by a coup, basically, and our Republican form of government was changed into a democratic system. Our system of laws were converted into a legal system, and the government that is operating today in Washington only has authority in Washington according to the legislated law. They don't have any authority in Colorado or any of the other states except by consent of the people. Now, the people give consent without realizing they're doing it. They sign agreements. How many times have you ever went and filled out a job application or an application for any kind of license or permit? One of the first questions after you put your personal information in there, it will ask you, are you a U.S. citizen?
Every time.
Well, if you knew what the definition of a U.S. citizen was, you would check no. Because people that live in Colorado are not U.S. citizens except by agreement. The legal definition of the United States is simply Washington, D.C., or we refer to that as the District of Columbia, or referred to in law as District of Columbia, Alaska, and Hawaii. And that is the congressional definition of the United States. Now, the United States also has some territories, like Guam, the Philippines, the Mariana Islands, and there are a number of others. Puerto Rico and Alaska and Hawaii are territories of the corporation. If you were born in any of the 48 states, you were not born in the United States. You were born in the United States of America, which is a completely different and separate entity from the corporation in Washington. And this is what we educate people about. They have a choice. They just didn't know they had a choice.
Well, you know, and, well,
go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, one of the things that I've listened to hours and hours of different people discussing the legalities and the terms and how the words and terms are twisted, and
yes,
and or how even this country came about, and that's to the point that, you know, I'm so confused at certain points that I'm just sitting back waiting to see how this all pans out, because it does make sense every time I listen to some of these people that have researched various aspects of the law and even when this country began. And when you start speaking of this, what you are doing at this point in time, doesn't it go back to even when they originated the Constitution and Bill of Rights?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Our original Constitution was actually presented in 1779. It was not, I'm sorry, 1789. It was not ratified by Congress until 1781, because the Constitution, although it did a good job of protecting the people from the overpowering federal national government, it did not protect the people. It did not protect the individual rights of the people. So they sent it back to be worked on again in 1789, and Congress was presented a document then after that, the Constitution, that included the Bill of Rights, which protected the rights of the people. That is the Constitution that we ratified and made our law, along with the Declaration of Independence, the Holy Bible, and the Bill of Rights. Those are the four founding documents of this republic. It is the same documents that our founding fathers had. Now, most people don't realize that the Constitution today that is in the corporation in Washington is not the same Constitution. It was changed. And this is where the problem began. Congress, according to our law at the time, could not change the Constitution or amend the Constitution or ratify the Constitution or vote at the or abolish the Constitution without a vote of the people. And they didn't bring any of it to the people. They never told the people they did it. The people didn't know. And so this was done from the beginning by deception, which makes it unlawful. And we realize that the Republic for the United States of America was never abolished. It was just sitting there uninhabited. And we realized that when we got to studying this, that all we actually had to do all along was just fill those positions, hold a Congress, put a Congress together, have them lawfully elected in the states, convene that Congress, and vote on what we wanted to do. And that's all we had to do. And so that's what we did. And this, what we've done has been fully investigated by the FBI and Department of Justice, and I've talked to them many times. I was on the phone with them yesterday. And basically what they said, this is the first time anybody did it right. And they don't have any issues with it. They said this was done lawfully, and they understand fully what we did. And so that was a pretty good stamp of approval on what we were doing. That's the reason none of us have ever been bothered. No movement in this country since the Civil War has ever been allowed to go this far without being stamped out and the members arrested or killed. And we haven't been bothered. We've got to ask yourself a question. Why haven't we been bothered? It's because we did it according to the law and nobody else ever did. And that's why we'll win this fight, because we have every lawful right to do what we're doing.
Well, you say that you haven't been bothered, but then again, when you start, I have listened to several of your interviews, and that there has been some threats, right?
Oh, well, there have been some threats from individual groups, but no official threats from, like, the government, no. I was threatened. My life has been threatened on a few occasions, but it was individuals, primarily people in the financial industry that wants to keep things on the way they are and keep the people deceived. There was one attempt on my life in Seattle, Washington, just over a year ago. Didn't work out for them very well. But, you know, we can't let things like that deter us. We're right, and we're going to move forward.
Now, one of the things that makes me... I mean, when I first started hearing this, when Sam Kennedy was involved, I had some real misgivings. But one of the things that I, listening to you recently and Kelby Smith, I realize also that if there ever was a time for people to organize and to take a stand, this would be now. And I also consider what the people involved back in when this country began, how they went about it, and what type of opposition that they had to go through to even pull it off, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Melody, we have not suffered anything like our founding fathers did. I mean, we have had opposition, that's true, but minimal compared to anything they had.
I mean,
many of those men gave their lives and everything they had for the for the government of that time to bring freedom to this nation. They risked it all, and many of us in the Republic have risked it all. We're dedicated to this cause. We believe in it. We know it's correct. We know that it's right. It's a righteous cause, and we're going to see it through, and we're going to win because it is.
Yeah.
And we need the people to stand up and understand. First, we need people to understand what it's all about. There are many false things said about what we're doing. There are many rumors and a lot of statements made that are just absolutely there's no foundation and no merit to them at all. What we have done is we have created a government truly of, by, and for the people and re-inhabited that original type of government. And if you'll go back and look at what happened when the early fathers in the Continental Congress formed this government, this nation flourished, became in less than 100 years, we became a superpower in the world. And we did that because the Constitution and the laws of the land at that time gave opportunity to the people. It didn't give advantage to large corporations or government. It gave it to the people. And that's what we have re-inhabited and re-established here in America. It's already done. We've already sent notifications around the world. We've already let people, and we have, right now, we have more than 100 nations that are very, very seriously interested in talking to us, and many offering support because they realize what we've done. They understand fully.
Now, often when you have this kind of, I don't even know how to address the terminology here, but when you have something of this instance, you would get opposition, even if it was from the bankers that you speak of, not just the military and or others that consider that they are the rightful leadership. I want to explain a little bit of that, or am I being clear in my question?
You've got to understand that since the Civil War days, when our system was changed to a democratic system, that there was an agenda behind that. And it was overhauled again in 1910 through 1913, and again in 1933. And each time, laws were changed to take advantage of the people and the assets of the people in order to benefit a handful of wealthy bankers. Every single time. They bought the right politicians. They paid the right money, the graft, I call it, to get what they wanted, and they got it. Our own Congress sold us out. Our own Congress still sells us out to the bankers today. It hasn't changed. It's only gotten worse. And they're not even secretive with it anymore. They even do it publicly now. So there's got to be some changes in America. First of all, the United States Corporation is not only bankrupt, it is insolvent. Another thing, in 2010, last year, the funding that supported the Federal Reserve System and the United States Treasury was withdrawn. They have no funding. They have no backing. They have no money. And what the money that they keep printing is becoming more and more worthless. And at some point, and I'm surprised it hasn't happened already, the U.S. dollar will no longer be received by many countries. It has already happened in a few. But soon, in many countries, they won't even accept the dollar because they know how worthless it really is. So the funding is going to be a great issue. Now, the military, I've had some meetings with personnel from the military. They were all positive, very positive meetings. The problem that the military has, and I understand fully, is the funding. We have to be funded in order for them to support our position. They are not opposed to what we're doing, actually. I was surprised at the support. The problem is the funding. And once we can supply the funding, and that won't be very long, we will be able to gain support from the military. We already have those in some of the government agencies that are working with us to try to make a reintegration, a peaceful and proper, lawful reintegration. The justices are already meeting all over the country to try to figure ways to go bring our system back into constitutional law base. It's going to be a big job, and they know that. And they're not sure exactly how to do that. But they're already talking about doing just that because they know what we have done, and they know the power of it.
Okay, now.
And they're going to have to comply, and they're aware of that.
Okay, now, when you're talking about the funding, because this is a problem you had to face initially, correct? And this is a problem that all countries have to face somewhere along the line. And if they're all based on the dollar and or fiat money, unless it's gold-backed, how is any other country that backs you or backs themselves in any different position?
We have private investors that are 100% backing. Most people don't realize, but there are 135 nations on the earth that are backed by private investors. They're not backed by governments, other governments. They're backed by the assets of private investors. Those investors have also agreed to back the Republic. And that was the same group that backed the corporation and the Federal Reserve System, and they removed their treaty expired in 2010, and they withdrew their support because the Federal Reserve and the corporation abused the funding. It was intended to be used for humanitarian measures, but they didn't do that. They actually used it for genocide and domination of many of the nations and building a great big military and just dominating smaller countries is what it was being used. The Federal Reserve has been doing that for a long time because they realized early on that warfare was profitable. And so they used the system that they had to create big armies and cause conflicts, and they actually used the assets of the people of the countries that were fighting each other, and they financed both sides and made vast, vast fortunes. The only problem is most of their fortunes were in fiat currency, and today they're pretty much worthless. So actually they were enslaved in their own trap before it was over with. Now many of them have personal fortunes that are quite impressive, but as far as the Federal Reserve System itself, it has no assets. It is practically worthless. In fact, it's less than worthless. It's insolvent. It's in such a debt hole that it can never dig its way out. It's impossible to cover that hole up. They owe so much debt that it couldn't be paid. There's not enough assets on earth to cover the currency they printed over the last 100 years.
Okay, coming from somebody that isn't an expert in this arena, but my question is okay, if the Federal Reserve and our dollar, which has been the world's currency of sorts for a number of years, then your International Monetary Fund and your World Bank, mm-hmm. where would their money be worth any more than what the Federal Reserve has?
Well, they're not. All of those are the same thing. If you're talking about IMF, mm-hmm. Federal Reserve, all of these are the same thing. The BIS, Bank of International Settlements, they're right. all part of the same system. None of them have any assets, and they're all going to collapse. But there is a move across many, many nations right now, and we're part of that, to establish a new banking system, and it's based on what they call the Basel III standards, where each dollar will be backed by 0.002 ounces of gold, and that is going to be the world standard shortly. Another thing is we're moving away from gold standard. Over a period of time, it will happen, and the banking system is going to go to a commodities-based instead of a gold-backed banking system, which will make it much more stable and much more affordable for the average person on the street to do business. And there are many, many reasons for that, and in an interview, it wouldn't be possible to cover or even get started on that, but the Basel III is the standard of the world, and the Republic is going to be the backbone of that standard here in this country.
Okay. Now, as far as my question again, with this money that is, you're going to move away from gold, then, but it is a commodity in its own right, correct?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. So then you have something such as water that's being commodified.
Yes, it is.
And
it's a very important commodity as well.
Right. And in the meantime, my observation from the research I'm doing is that the UN has been trying to get control of that, of the water.
That's correct. And they have. The problem the UN has is that many nations are beginning to pull back from the UN and not support it anymore. They have a very aggressive agenda, you might say, and they intend to take control, but there are many nations that are pulling back away from that. If you do some study and research on the United Nations, it was originally started to be a humanitarian effort, and it has been perverted into something by the same bankers, by the way, that
right.
perverted everything else to gain access to the wealth of the nations and the wealth of the people of the nations.
Right.
That is why it was done. By greed, power, corruption. And many nations of the world are beginning to wake up and realize, you know, they've been duped. And they're beginning to say, no more. We're not going to do it. They're pulling out of that system. And with the advent of the new banking system that's being created right now, that system will collapse. And the UN will be changed back into a beneficial force again rather than what it is today. It is already making that evolution back to what it should be. It's going to take some time, but it will be at some point when the Federal Reserve finally collapses and the bankers finally lose their grip, which I think is coming very soon. I think that you'll see the United Nations change their whole agenda.
I find it interesting though. I would find it hard for myself to have any faith in the United Nations after doing the research that I have, unless they, it was a whole new organization under a lot of. I mean, even when you read some of the documents that have been printed by those that are involved with it, they sound wonderful. It's when you see the fruits of their labors that makes you wonder,
yes,
what's really going on.
And you're correct. The way it is right now, I don't trust them either, and I wouldn't be involved with them as it is. But as I said, there are 135 nations now that are pulling away and changing the direction of the United Nations, and they're going to win the battle because the majority will soon be a great majority of all of the nations will eventually move toward that. But it's not going to happen overnight. It didn't get messed up overnight, and it's not going to be fixed overnight.
Now, are you familiar with the work of Joan Bion?
Don't think so.
Well, she had traveled to a lot of these world meetings, and one of the things that she had mentioned, and I did have the opportunity to interview her, and one of the things that she had brought up in these meetings, and I mean, she was even present at some of the World Bankers meetings. I don't know the exact one at this point, but I think she'd been to well over 100, or close to 100 anyways. And so one of the things that came out of it is that she found that a lot of the members of the United Nations were ex-Commonwealth members of the British Commonwealth, and which gave the Queen something in the area, and this is just from memory, somewhere like 52 votes, where the rest of everyone else would have one, is my understanding. So I would figure that some of these countries that you may have been talking to or whatever may still be under the influence of that, because that was one of the questions she asked some of these people. Why did they always vote in opposition to their best interest? And that their comment had been to her that because they didn't really get that option.
So. Yeah, and that is correct. But you got to understand that when this banking system changes over, the whole the power is going to shift. And there are many of those very same people that won't be in position any longer. When the money shifts, the power is going to shift as well.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to be the folks that were involved in the former banking system and the Federal Reserve system, what we refer to as the elite, will not be involved in this banking system, I can tell you. They are absolutely not going to be allowed because they perverted they were not supposed to do what they did. They perverted the use of the funds, and they're going to be banned and barred by the people that control the funds.
Now, for this to have come about, would you like to relay the events, how you got to this point in time and how you felt confident in standing up to take this position with the people that you have?
Well, first I was compelled to do it. I saw that America is falling apart. America will not survive much longer as it is. We have two choices. We can even go back to our roots in our Republican system, or we will be ruled under martial law by United Nations troops, entirely up to the people of this nation. If we continue on this path and re-inhabit the Republic and help reestablish this banking system that is being put in place, we have a very good chance of preventing that and actually going back to a Republican system of government where the people are actually free again, and they will be blessed and prospered beyond belief. We have plans in place, financial plans already in place, waiting on funding to implement those plans. We can turn this economy around, and the people in America they won't even recognize America in the first year of what it'll be so much better than what it is now. Within a year, that they won't even be able to believe it. That there won't be an unemployment problem. There will be no foreclosure problems. The IRS will not exist. The people will overnight get a 30% on average pay raise on their take-home pay. And what's going to happen when that happens? If we announce on the news that we're going to increase everybody's pay raise by 30%, and we can do that without spending an extra dime, not one extra dime. And when that happens, people are going to begin to spend money. And when money is spent, people want things to buy with it. And so that means the industrial complex is going to have to kick into overdrive to supply the need. And that means the unemployment is going to go to pretty much zero. And America is going to hum again. We've learned one thing by experience and studying history. All you have to do is give the American people hope and a little help, and they'll make an economy work. That's a fact. They've done it many times in the past.
Okay, now, one of the things that you might explain a little bit, because, I mean, you may have brushed upon it earlier, but what it appears that, you know, we're working under, like, two or more different systems, and yet we're being told we're working under one, but in reality it's kind of like going to court and thinking that you're in one type of court, finding out that you're really in another type of court. Would you like to explain that a little bit between the corporate, maybe even, I don't even if admiralty applies to this, or what is going on?
Well, admiralty, and as far as the republic goes, admiralty only refers or applies to incidents in the sea or cargo from the sea, ships in port and that kind of thing. Under the current system, we have brought admiralty on land by Title 28, Rule 1 in 1966. Congress brought admiralty law on land, and admiralty is applied in the courts today. It's the reason they fly an admiralty flag in most of your courthouses. The admiralty law is much different than the common law or statutory law. And one of the things that we found is that there was a big loophole in it, and we use that to our advantage quite often. I do quite understand admiralty law. I have trained a number of attorneys in it. The bottom line is that the judges like to stay in what they call equity, and they have that choice, unless the person that's coming to court brings the jurisdiction or demands the jurisdiction of the admiralty, they go into what's called equity. In equity law, when you go into court, the court can use what is known as judicial notice, and that means the judge can go find a case law somewhere that is somewhat similar to your case. Doesn't have to be just like it. But if it's got some similar attributes of your case, he can use that as a precedent and make that same ruling in your case. Now, it may have some important differences that makes your case different. But if the judge has an agenda, and they quite often do, then he can use that judicial notice and select a case and say, I'm going to rule like this case was ruled because it is a precedent. And they can achieve their agenda that way. Under admiralty, they have to use law, and they don't like to be trapped in that. And a lot of people don't understand law and versus the lawful system versus the legal system, two different complete systems. In the system of laws that our nation was created under, the legislature, which were the representative voice of the people, would vote on a law, and they would vote on a simple majority, or it was vetoed by the president by a two-thirds majority vote of the House and Senate, to pass a law and make it an actual law where it could be enforced. In the legal system, the laws are created a lot of times, or what they call laws. They're not even laws. They're what's referred to as color of law. And under color of law, it has the appearance on its face of a law, but it was not properly legislated to be a law. And they had to go to the legal system when they changed our system of government unlawfully in 1868 through 1871 after the Civil War. they had to change the system to the legal system because they couldn't operate their schemes on the people under a system of laws. It wouldn't allow it. There was a lot of retribution and punishment involved in the law for a politician to do the things that they've done to the people. So they created a system of color of law that appears to be law, but it is only statutes, regulations, and ordinances which are not law at all. That is not considered positive law. It appears to be law, but it is not law. So that's how they operate. And the biggest and most powerful word in the legal system is consent. Everything they do by consent. The problem is they rarely give people full disclosure to know how they consent. They use trickery and deception constantly in the courts and in business and in the banks and every facet of your life to get you to consent without even knowing that you did it. Case in point, if you go fill out a job application and they ask you, are you a U.S. citizen? If you go to a bank and they say, they tell you that they have given you full disclosure when in fact they didn't tell you everything about your loan. In fact, they left out some of the most important parts of your loan. That is not full disclosure. And without full disclosure, the people cannot lawfully give consent. They can only give legal consent, not lawful consent. Our nation was never was not created to be a system of a legal system. It was created to be a system of law. And so we've got to replace those statutes, regulations, and ordinances that are violating the rights of the people and the civil liberties of the people that are protected under the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. We have to do away with that system and go back to the original Republican form where the law is the rule.
Now, would you have in mind throwing out 95% of what's out there?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that question.
Okay. Would you have in mind of throwing out 90% of what is out there on the books? I mean, so much of it is...
Well, probably. I don't know what percentage it would be. I wouldn't know where to even start on that. But a large part of what's been legislated is absolutely color of law and has no lawful basis or foundation for it.
Well, if a lot of it was done under deception in the first place, wouldn't it make it all kind of null and void anyway?
Absolutely, it would. What they did is they created what is known as bills of attainder, which have no force and effect in law at all.
Okay.
So, in fact, you could throw the whole system out, yes, and go back to our original system, which is basically what we did.
It certainly sounds easier.
No, it's much easier, and it's much more fair. And it will benefit the people. We operate under a system today of victimless laws, victimless regulations, I should say. They're not really laws. As I said, it's under color of law. Statutes, regulations, and ordinances are not law. They're just color of law. And they're quite often victimless. And you'll always find that there is a penalty assessed for everyone. And it's about revenue. As simple as that. When you're riding down the highway and you're doing 10 miles above the speed limit on the interstate, you're out there right by yourself. You're not bothering anybody. You haven't caused an accident or even caused any damage.
Interfered
with
anybody?
Stopped?
Yeah.
If there is nobody damaged, why are you stopped? And why are you given a fine?
Well,
it's because we are operating under what is known as victimless color of law. There is no law that supports that whatsoever. But they do it because the cop writes you a ticket, you sign it, you give your consent, you appear in court, the judge tells you if you don't pay the fine, he's going to throw you in jail, and he scares you into abiding by their color of law. And it's all an act. It's all a play. It's all a big joke, if the people can understand. They take court way too seriously. If they understood, they could have a lot of fun in court like I do.
Well, then you also hear the ones that really give a hard time to those that do try to abide by the word of the law, and as opposed to those that go by the policy, and they definitely they've put a number of them in jail, correct?
Well, in some cases, but you find out normally it's people that don't do properly that they do that to, because they don't understand what they're doing. I have been threatened many times, but I've never spent a day in jail, never been in jail in my life. But I have been threatened. I've been threatened by federal judges. I've been told that they're going to throw me in prison for 5 years. I told one of them, I said, well, do what you can afford to do, but it's going to be very costly, because I know you don't have the authority and you're operating under color of law. And I explained to how I knew that, and he decided not to pursue it.
Okay.
But I do understand. Now, a lot of people go in there without the proper training and knowledge, and they go in there and know just enough to get into trouble. And we have to. That's why we need education in this nation on the proper, lawful way to do things.
Well, you know, that's the really interesting part, I find, because there has been so many different interpretations and schools of thought that, I mean, I know I'm now just learning the many different facets that have been taught over the years, even though when you start breaking it down to what is original documents, again, it goes down to the fact that did they really even start out on the right foot? And did we just kind of stumble around from there? I mean, what took place in 1868 that made that significant to have to change to the different legal system?
In 1868, the 41st Congress convened. And by the way, they convened without the southern states. And they created a corporation called the United States and gave it an area of 10 square miles. And a 10-mile square, rather, 100, which is 100 square miles. And they named it the District of Columbia. And that was supposed to be the seat of the government. Unfortunately, they didn't ask the permission from the people to do what they did. They didn't tell the people they were going to change this system up. They didn't tell the people that they were going to create a new constitution and throw out the old 13th Amendment and add a new one on slavery. They didn't tell them that they were going to make them all slaves under the 14th Amendment, which it actually does. And they didn't tell them all of the changes in the legal system that they were going to do. And they can't do that in our nation without consent. And they didn't get the consent. And that's where their system went wrong from the beginning. It was used as a tool of deception to bring the people under slavery to this corporation. And that's where the people have been since that time, different varying degrees. At first, it wasn't all that bad. Little by little, the noose got tighter. If you talk to your grandparents about what the law was when they were young people, how has it changed? It's changed dramatically. There are thousands of regulations that did not exist when your grandparents were young people. It didn't exist. So why are we creating more and more laws? Well, the monster that is created in Washington is hungry, and it has to be fed. So they have to create more and more laws so people can be incriminated in order to pay the fees that's necessary to feed the monster. And that's a very simple thing. But the monster has got too big, we can't feed it anymore. The people don't have enough resources anymore. They've exhausted them all. And so now the monster is dying of starvation, and it will die, because there's nothing left to feed it.
Well, the way I view it is somewhat like, it's just like with their monetary system, they dilute it to the point that it's meaningless. You do the same thing when you start just making laws willy-nilly. No, there's nobody out there that can know them all, and why would they bother? I mean, it was hard enough before they even started going crazy with all these executive orders. But one of the things I wanted to ask you a little bit about was the Administrative Act. You're familiar with that, correct?
I'm familiar with a lot of administrative acts. I'm not sure exactly.
Okay. Well, my understanding is there was one that was passed in 1947, the Administrative Law.
Yes, I know. Okay. I understand what you're talking about.
Okay. Would you want to explain a little bit about that and how that's kind of applying today or being utilized today?
I don't know that I know enough about it to explain it. It was another change in our government that it's when they started codifying, as the best of my knowledge from, is when they started creating the code and bringing and codifying the laws and brought it into another venue, which would be, it would be like equity law, I would presume it would be. It's a statutory and equity law. But I don't know, I don't think that I know enough about that to actually explain it to the people.
Okay, now,
I'd have to go do some reading on that.
Okay, now I mean, with the way that I do research, it's really kind of willy-nilly going in all directions, but I'm finding it all comes, it all meets in the middle somewhere. But when it comes down to the fact that you have these codes and these administrative acts and like, mm-hmm. this all kind of came about this in the same time period, you know, that we went through the bankruptcy and mm-hmm. and then we there was another form of government that seemed to be moved in consciously by groups that has now been given names that don't fit what it originally was, but still mm-hmm. the act still means it's the same type of government and mm-hmm. and even though some might call it communism, there would be another terminology as how it affects that we're being set up on this same basis, not only in this country but around the world.
Yes, it is. It's a global policy. You're correct. And it is going to take place, and it is going to be go into place worldwide for a brief period of time over the financial markets of the world. We don't believe it's going to take in all the peoples of the world because they're just not going to tolerate it. The people of the Republic are not going to. So even though they're going to control the markets of the earth and the financial markets of the earth for a brief period, they won't last very long. They're not going to be very strong, and they'll never quite get it all together because it's so adverse to the people. The people who are going to rebel against it.
Now, I was listening to, I don't know if you're familiar with Mike Rivera, What Really Happened.
I've heard of him. I don't really know him.
Now, he had a slant that I have to kind of almost agree with where he was going with what was going on in the world right now. I mean, we're being told of all these different incidents and reasons behind why we're at war, but even going back to, if you're following the bankers and the banking system, they're the ones that seems to have been calling the shots all along. And even though there may be certain hierarchies in government that may be participating in it as well, that you really don't have a right and left. It's just a matter of, you know, what do they want to accomplish and how are they going to accomplish it?
You have the masters and the slaves, basically.
Right.
And the puppeteers in the middle that are being operated by the masters, and then they operate us. It's been going on a long time. It's very well organized, except for one thing. The financing that they had backing all of this has been taken away from them. Because people don't really know where the world's wealth lies. There's only 10% of the real wealth that's ever been reported. The real wealth lies in private investors that you never hear about or you don't even know their name. And those are the people that really run the world. The people that we talk about all the time, we refer to them by many names, the elite, the Illuminati, the world bankers, all these people, the Wall Street brokers, the politicians. These people are simply mid-level management. They really don't run things. What they have done is manipulated the people that have the wealth to use their wealth for a period of time under treaties and agreements that they have violated, and now that has been taken away from them simply because they did violate. And I don't know if you believe in the scripture or you believe in the Bible, but the Bible is very clear on that at some point, that wealth is going to be taken away from those people and given back to the people.
Well, ultimately,
I believe that's what's being done now.
ultimately you have to have an asset to really have the wealth. I mean, paper doesn't mean anything. And that's my feelings has been that the reason why we haven't quite had that transition and collapsed as yet, because they got so carried away with their derivatives and other monetary instruments that they didn't have the assets to back it up.
That's correct, yeah. I met a man several years ago that was in the had tech stock were worth over $100 million. He was building a house near my hometown in Florida down there on a very elite place on an island down there, and building him a several million-dollar house. During the construction of his house, the market busted. I think it was 99, I believe it was. And the market, I mean, the tech stocks died. I mean, they just went belly up. And this man had everything he had invested in that foolishness. Didn't think that he needed to put in any hard assets. And he had to sell his unfinished house for pennies on the dollar and go back to work at 55 years old to start all over again, because he got completely wiped out because he didn't have a diversified investment portfolio. I couldn't imagine that anybody with $100 million could ever be caught that way. But he did.
Well, I would imagine in this day and time that there's possible that there would be people that had $100 million and got caught anyways, because they had infiltrated so much of the market and avenues for investing that it didn't matter where you were at.
Yeah, and I think that could possibly happen to a lot of people, too. Another thing we have, another problem we have out here is we have people that are billionaires that can't access their funds. They're locked down. They can't touch it.
Right. Land rich and
yeah. And I've got a friend that he had back a couple of years or so ago, maybe 3 years ago, I told him he needed to invest in some silver and gold. And he had $12 million in an account. It was a gold certificate account in New York, in a bank in New York. And I told him, I said, you need to go get your, redeem your certificates and get the actual asset in your hands. Because all you have is a piece of paper. I said, what happens if that company that gave you that certificate goes bankrupt? I said, all you'll have is a certificate. I said, probably with no way to redeem it. I said, so what I would do is go redeem it. He said, well, they promised me if I wanted, I could get it in 30 days in hard assets. I said, go try. So he did. Called him, made an appointment, went to see him, and they told him, no problem, 30 days. Well, 30 days passed, he didn't have his assets. 90 days passed, he didn't have his assets. Six months went by, 180 days, he didn't have his assets. Took him almost a year for them to redeem the paper, because they didn't have assets. They had to find them. And they had hypothecated on his gold to sell certificates to other people. And that system is going to collapse. Basically, that's what the Federal Reserve has done. They've hypothecated on their assets so many times, there's no possible way to pay it. It can't be paid. There's not enough assets on Earth, possibly the universe, to pay what they printed. They can't do it. They can't redeem their currency, because they don't have the assets to cover it. So they are going to go down, and they are going to go under. And the Republic... The reason we are so compelled to do this is because somebody has to be there to catch it when it falls. Now, we have the backing to do what we do financially, to do what we need to do to keep this system afloat and support the economy. Because the people that have the assets don't want the American economy to collapse. Because they also own factories and in industries that supply a large portion of what comes to this country. So if our economy collapses, they don't want... they don't want that to happen, because it's going to affect theirs too.
Right.
It's going to be a domino effect.
Yeah, the way I see it is the reason why we would have that kind of backing would be because, I mean, if we go, the world goes. And
that's exactly what they say.
Mm-hmm.
It will do them no good to see the American economy collapse. However, they can no longer support the corporation because they're just absolute thieves. And they tell you that. They don't mind saying it.
Well, and
I've had them actually tell me that. They said, you can't trust them.
Well, and this is where the corporate, I mean, because what's as long as you act as a corporation, then you have no conscience, you have no, and that's separating out this corporate monetary money driven system. I don't see how we could ever have any kind of government that was worthwhile, because, I mean, it's as though people worship this corporate structure, and it just devours everything in its path, and then it has to reinvent itself so that it can devour itself again.
Right. So, Melody, what we want to do is tell the people they do have an option. You know, for the last so many years, people in the Patriot, they call them patriots. I really don't like the word patriots. We're Americans. We're simple as that. We're hardworking, tax-paying, freedom-loving, peaceful Americans who just simply want our government back to what it should be. And we want the people, the money put back into people's hands instead of the government's hands. We want to increase business and industry and jobs and wealth in this country for the people. We truly want a government which is for the benefit of the people, of, by, and for the people, as the Constitution guarantees. The Constitution guarantees us a Republican form of government, does not guarantee us a democratic system. That Constitution has been violated by our own politicians. Their fiduciary responsibilities and oaths and pledges have been violated. They have violated every promise. They have violated every treaty. They have violated every agreement. And they're simply not trustworthy. And why do we want Washington to do anything for the people when we know all they're going to do is create more hardship on the American people? That's been proven time and time and time and time again. How many times do you have to hit us in the head with a baseball bat before we wake up and understand what's going on? You cannot fix Washington. I don't care if you reelected every person in Washington. Washington was a deception from day one. It was a deception on the American people. The only lawful government that is in this nation right now is the Republic. Simple. That's a very simple fact, but it is a fact. The Republic is the only lawful government in this nation. Washington never was a lawful government.
So,
and the people of the country have a choice, and they can get behind this Republic, and they can find freedom. They can have a future for their children and their grandchildren and many generations in the future. But you can elect all the new representatives that you want to send to Washington, and it will not change. Washington is like a boat that is so rotten it can never be repaired. It's impossible. It can't be fixed because it was designed to fail from the beginning.
So how would people become involved in supporting this?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear all of your question.
Okay.
Signal fades from time to time.
Okay, how would a person get involved that supported this?
Well, first of all, is they need to educate themselves, and they need to go to our website, republicoftheunitedstates.org. We have some good information on there about what we're doing. We've got some good reference materials on there they can go study. We are increasing that now as we speak. There's a lot of references and links that you can go to and learn more about what is going on. I don't encourage anyone to be involved unless they fully understand what they're being involved in. You need to educate yourself. First of all, we don't want anything from you. We don't want your money. We don't want your property. We don't want anything except for you to be free. We're not asking for you. There's no fee to join. We don't want to charge you. Now, there is a fee if you get an ID card that's coming up, and that's because we have to pay for them. But anyway, you can be a part of this Republic without ever buying an ID card. We made sure that was not a requirement. We want people, we don't want what they have. We want to give back to them what has been stolen. And that's what we've worked tirelessly for the last several years to do. And it is coming together. We have about 90% of our government completed. And we are moving forward. And if you want to be a part of it, it's the only game in town, folks. There is no other method. There is no other way. This is what the Founding Fathers did. We just duplicated what they did. We re-inhabited the exact same system that was abandoned in 1868 after the Civil War. It was done in 1861 when the Confederacy walked out, and that's when it was actually abandoned. And since that time, we have not had a lawful government in America.
So this has got to be quite an involved process. I mean, there's got to be a lot of avenues that you're having to address this in if you're having to, if you're getting the, you know, meeting with these other countries and others within, you know, within this country. And how did these people get involved that are already in members of the, is it cabinet? Is that what you're referring to them
yes,
as?
Yes, we had elections and I was elected by people in all 50 states to be the president. All people that were part of the Republic, members of the Republic, we had a vote across the 50 states, and I was elected the president. And they appointed me. Congress met and convened and appointed me to carry out certain duties of the presidency, one of which was to appoint a cabinet. Cabinet members have to be approved by the Senate, which has been done, and we had to set up certain things. Each state has to set up their own government, because you got to understand that the national government has no authority in a state in a Republican form of government. The states do make agreements to be a part of the Republic, and they agree to abide by the laws of the nation. But as far as us coming into a state and interfering with state business, we don't do that. We can't do that. The states are independent and free to do their governance in their state without interference from a big national government. And I support that wholeheartedly. I've seen what that does to the people. So the states are free and independent, and they come into the union by contract and by agreement that they will support the law of the land. The agreements are very simple. The cabinet was appointed and approved by Senate. All of the states elected governors, cabinet members. Some of them are not completed with that process, but most of them have. They have a court system, and they have a grand jury. Those are the minimum requirements, and they have some other officers too, but that's the basic start. And they're putting in state treasurers and comptrollers, and they're fleshing out the rest of their state governments. And we're about 90% there. It's been a process, believe me, it's been a learning process for all of us. But the bottom line is we've done it right. We did it exactly the same way that the Founding Fathers did it. And they knew how to do it properly. They were very schooled in law. They understood how to do things. And we've just learned from their experience and copied what they did, basically. And it works.
But even when they set it up, they had a lot of dissension among themselves, right?
They surely do, and we have some today. We have people that don't agree with the way we did things. They're prerogative to believe that, but in almost every single case where they don't agree, I ask them, well, what is your plan? And they don't have one.
So what you're ultimately doing is setting up a basic architecture, so that if this country does do what many are predicting is going to happen,
yes,
is that you've got something to fall upon, and that you're not just some fair game of the next bully that comes down the block.
That's correct, and I've talked about this to heads of state in other countries and people in financial centers around the world. They understand America, the system that's currently in America, Federal Reserve System, is going to fall. It is, that's a given. It's not a question of if, it's just a question of when. We're surprised that it's still holding together now, since it has no asset backing anymore. Since last year, it has held together by just pure fraud. Once the people catch on, it's going to fall. And they are catching on. There are countries in the last just few weeks have decided they're not going to base their currency on the dollar anymore, and they're moving away from the dollar, and that's going to expose more of the fraud. And then once enough of it is exposed, the dollar will be like Confederate money is right now. It'll be worthless.
So there are those. Okay, there are those out there that actually believe we're actually in receivership, and that's what's happened. That's there are processes in. What are you laughing at?
We've been in receivership since 1791.
Okay.
They don't understand that. We've been operating in bankruptcy since 1791. This country was always bankrupt.
Okay.
But we were operating in lawful bankruptcy. Now we're not operating anymore in lawful bankruptcy. It's a whole other thing. They're trying to fraud upon the people. And they've exhausted their ability to continue. And they won't continue because they can't. They have no assets to continue with. They have mortgaged everything that belongs to them and everything that belongs to the people.
And they're out there trying to continue their scam.
What they're doing now is they're looting every public fund that they can find to transfer to their private bank accounts around the world. And basically that's what's going on with your Congress and with your politicians right now. They're just milking the cow until it dies, and they're not going to feed it anymore. She's going to milk it till it dies.
Right. There's so many different levels that I see this taking place that it makes it very... You just have to wonder which one's going to get caught in the process. Although I know that ultimately their whole idea is to get the public caught in this, and there are those that plan on bringing this country down to a third world country, and in selling off all the assets and us included in that process.
That's correct.
And so when you said something about an ID card. Oh, let me say one thing. This is KHENLP 106.9 Salida, and my guest this evening is President Tim Turner of the Republic for the United States?
Yeah, Republic for the United States of America.
Okay. And so these ID cards, why would we need an ID card?
Well, it's more or less, you don't need one for us. You need one to prove who you are. And if you don't want to enter into the contracts with the corporation, you need some kind of proof of ID just to keep from being bothered, basically, was the idea behind it. We won't bother you. We don't care who you are. But we're not trying to take anything from you.
Okay.
But unfortunately, the corporation requires identification. And in order for us to cohabitate at this point, it's a lot less problem to have it than not have it. That's about the best way I can say it. We're trying to avoid problems. We are peaceful people. We don't try to create problems. We really don't. I know people would say that's not true. All we do is we stand up for the truth, and I can document all of the things that we stand up for and show why I stand up for them in a court of law. I have done it many times. Never lost, by the way, either. And the bottom line is that if you don't comply with some of the things that they want you to do in some fashion, then you're going to have a problem when you get stopped. If you don't have a driver's license or some kind of form of identification, probably going to end up in jail. And what we tell our people is we're trying to get along. We're not trying to fight. We don't want to have the hassle. So let's try to get along. And we've tried to create a remedy for that. And that's why we have ID cards.
So in other words, you're just kind of waiting for this event to probably take place so that then you can really step forward and
that's exactly what we're doing. We've already notified people in the military, people around the world, nations around the world that we're here, we're back, the lights are on, we're back in our house, and we're setting up shop, we're doing things that we're supposed to do. This is a peaceful, completely peaceful movement. We don't promote any type of violence. We're not a bunch of crazies. A lot of us are very educated people in the law and understanding of how nations work. We have a lot of people in our organization that are quite knowledgeable. We have very many professionals. We have bankers. We have doctors. We have lawyers in our organization all through it because they understand. And we encourage them to be part of us. There are some issues that they have. We have people that support us clandestinely but can't come forward because of their job, and I don't encourage them to quit their jobs and join the Republic. If they want to help us behind the scenes and keep their job and their employment to take care of their family, I encourage them to do that. But at the same time, when it all collapses, they will fully be in our camp. We're not stupid people. We're not out here trying to commit suicide, and we're not out here trying to cause problems for anybody in the corporation. Actually, we're trying to protect their jobs. The people in the corporation, when the financial collapse takes place, they're all going to get laid off from their jobs and sent home. There's not going to be any job to go to. Fortunately, that the Republic is in place, and with the financing that we have coming on board now, we will be able to keep these people working, because if we don't keep them working, we will collapse the entire economy. Okay. And the world in that respect.
Okay. Okay, so then they will have had that monetary system put in place before the money.
Our monetary system was in place in 1986.
Okay, so
it's been operating since that time.
Okay, so because I mean, other than owning land and some sort of commodity, I wouldn't figure that you would have anything. I mean, you would have to be waiting. Once you have that, you have, so I guess possession is 9/10 of the law right now.
Right. And what's happening is a shift is about to take place, is the shift of the power is being shifted to the Republic because of the wealth, because the wealth is being shifted to the Republic. And because it's been taken away from the other crew because the corporation is not going to be financed anymore because nobody in the world trusts them anymore. They don't pay their debts. They lie, cheat, and steal constantly. So why would anybody trust them? So when their treaty expired, the people that control the wealth said, we're just not going to deal with you anymore, and they backed away. Well, when the Republic, they started watching us. They've been watching us for quite some time. And I started getting strange phone calls from people that had no idea who in the world they were, started asking me questions. And I was cordial to the people, but kind of cautious. And so more and more they called, and different ones called. And attorneys started calling, and then financial people started calling, and then finally, after I answered the questions properly and they investigated me properly, they put me in touch with the people who actually finance nations. And I'm directly dealing with them now. They are going to finance the Republic, and they have enough to do it. They are the same people that financed the United States Corporation, and they just withdrew their support because of the corruption. And they're going to move it shifted to the Republic.
Okay, this is the part that I find interesting, because I know they have no allegiance. I mean, they're in it for the money no matter what. And
right.
They're going to back, you know, they're going to back the winning horse, and they don't care what side that horse is on. So
that's correct.
But for us to be able to trust them, that's another matter.
Well, you don't have to trust them. You just have to have good contracts. You got to understand, they've been financing us all along.
Well, I realize that. I do.
Mm-hmm.
But
the only problem that was created was not created by them to begin with. It was created by the Federal Reserve Board and the corporation and the U.S. Treasury, and the thieves that started operating those took advantage of the funds. That's where the problem came in. The people, you'll find out that the people that financed at that level stick to their agreements. They don't manipulate because they don't have to. They own 90% of the world's wealth. Why do they need to manipulate? And they have, I've talked to these people, they have a moral responsibility for humanitarian effort. They'll tell you that. They have that responsibility because they have been entrusted, and that's a big part of what they do. They do very much humanitarian stuff. A lot more than what you think.
Well, I'm aware that there's, you know, that they do a lot of humanitarian things, but then there's also the other side of them that mm-hmm. does things that seem to be very contrary to that.
Well, that's probably because all you have ever seen evidence of is the mid-level management. You've never really seen the actions of the people at the top. Very few people ever do.
Right, but is that mid-level?
The people like the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers are not the top people. They're simply not. They are mid-level management. And that's all they've ever been. They're not at the top. That's what we've been taught to believe, but that's not true.
No, I've been told that a number of times, and their names don't seem to come forth, or if they do, they're not associated with with that. And but ultimately, that you know them by their mid-level management.
Yes, and well, that's because, and this was explained to me that the people that they committed to treaties, many times long periods of time for countries, 50 to 100 years, and once they commit the funds, it's pretty much outside of their ability to control what they do with the funds. Once they commit it, they have to honor that commitment, or it could collapse the entire system of the world and economics. Once they are no longer trusted, there's no system anymore. So they're bound by their oaths and their agreements and their contracts and their treaties, and they take that very seriously, and they don't try to interfere with countries. What they do is they allow the countries to operate themselves. The problem that we have is the mid-level people that borrow the funds from them. They are the ones that manipulate everything. The people at the top don't do that. But the people at the top are there to help the countries that will allow them to do it. But they are there to protect the fund and make money as well. And they loan their money out at an interest rate, but it's a reasonable rate. And they finance many nations. Actually, this group finances 135 nations.
Okay,
right now.
Let me take this particular angle. Do these people feel that this planet is overpopulated?
No, they do not.
They do not. Then,
no, they don't feel like it's overpopulated at all.
But then this myth or whatever you want to call it is being perpetuated, and it's not like are they stepping forward to try to put a kibosh to it, and they're allowing these wars to take place. I mean, they make money off of these wars. So,
well, they actually don't make any money off the wars. They don't. It's not what they operate. What you're dealing with, like I said, the people in mid-level that borrowed the money from them are using and manipulating and doing that.
Okay.
They only get their percentage that they agreed to, and a lot of times they don't even get that. The United States didn't even pay that.
Because this is quite a complex situation going on here. I mean, when you understand just the banking system in its own right is built so much on usury and mm-hmm. and manipulations of money that they never even had.
That's correct.
So
the banks that we see every day and that we deal with every day, and as I said, those are the mid-level people that operate those banks, and they never. You got to understand, this is a long-term thing.
Mm-hmm.
This has been going on in this country since 1910. That's all we've ever seen. We don't know anything else. And the truth is that most people never know about what really goes on in the world of finance in the world. I'm being schooled in things I never even dreamed of or never knew about, because I always thought that when you look at the bankers, that those were the elite of the world and the most wealthy people in the world. I can tell you, those people don't have squat. They don't have anything but 10% of the world's wealth. That's all they have.
So
there's still 90% out there that actually runs the world, and those are the people they go to when they need money. But they've been cut off now.
From what
current bankers of this world, it's the reason banks are in trouble. That's the reason that this government is about to collapse. The Federal Reserve system is going down, is because they got tired of the corruption, the people at the top, and they cut them off. They cannot get any more money.
My understanding, okay, when the Federal Reserve started, this was also about the time that they started a lot of taking over a lot of the other systems of the world, so that they could set up their one world government, so to speak. So
that was all part of the United Nations, yes.
Okay, so how are you going to address that aspect? Are you just thinking, are you saying this is just going to fall apart just like the monetary system?
It is going to fall apart. If you study the actual workings of the UN and its origination and what it was intended for, it was supposed to be a good thing. But when these people got control of the wealth that they got, I mean, you take a person that has bad and evil intentions. And the bankers do have evil intentions, believe it or not. Most of them do. especially at the top. They all do at the top. Can't get there without it. You never get in that club unless you have that attitude that you don't mind taking other people's stuff. In fact, you prefer it. And if you don't have that attitude, you'll never reach that level. The bottom line is, though, is that the people at the top don't control things exactly, completely like they think. As I said, they manipulated the system of wealth that they were given that was supposed to be a benevolent system, and they actually agreed to do that, but through treaties, but they didn't honor the treaties. And they were supposed to be benevolent to the people. Instead, they perverted it and used it. But they had it for 100 years. It gave them a long time to do their perversion. And they grew quite an empire in 100 years, but they're still mid-level management no matter what they did. And now the funding has been cut. And although that many of them have pretty good personal fortunes, some of that has been removed, by the way, too. They don't have as much as they used to have. The actual funders have removed much of it. Although they still have, in our eyes, it would be vast fortunes, in personal wealth, they don't have the money to run nations anymore. And they're not going to put their personal wealth into a nation, I can tell you that. They're going to retire and slip off into the darkness and just disappear and live their life out in luxury. They can't manipulate the governments anymore because the treaty expired, the funds have been withdrawn, and they don't have any. Now, they're not going to invest their personal fortunes.
From the way I look at it, those that are in that kind of position have to make a choice here down the road if they haven't made it already, because they're either backing this other system or they're going to need something with some integrity and humanity. And unless they have to make that choice or the other, and they're going to be, dealing with this thing over and over and over again. And some that, war, perpetual war, and living in a world of stealing from others constantly and trying to claw their way to the top is seems to be acceptable to those. But you're claiming that a lot of them are already on board, and
yes, many of the nations don't like how things have went, and they've been manipulated as well. Just like you made the statement earlier about many of the voters on the UN, they don't have a choice. The bankers will have you taken out if you don't do what they want you to do. It's that simple. They'll send in merch to take you and your family out. They don't mind doing that. They've done it many times in the past. And they're losing their grip, and because they've lost their money.
And that's already had to.
As I said, they've got personal wealth still, but they don't have the wealth of the nations anymore.
Okay, and you probably already had to experience that infiltration within this organization already. I mean,
My goodness, it's constant. It's constant. We are constantly having to purge. We call it the separation of the sheep and the goats. That really upsets some people, but basically what's going on. And I will tell you, without divine intervention and protection, we couldn't survive. There's no possible way we could have gotten this far. But I will tell you, this republic is God's republic, and God wants this to happen, and he is going to back it, and he's going to protect it, and he's going to support it. I can tell you that to be a fact.
And so, again, so if people want to be involved, they go to the Republic of, you said of the United States, and I thought I did see that on a URL, but then when I typed
in... Yeah, we use both names. Okay. We've legislated where we could use either name, Republic of or Republic for. Okay. Either one is correct.
And so to get the amount of people, do you have quite a number of people that are involved now?
I don't know the exact numbers. We have people in every state. Some of those states have 1,000 or more. I don't know. There's some of them don't have that many. Mm-hmm. But many of the states are growing very, very well and doing well. And what I'm seeing a trend, though, that in the last few weeks has really excited me, is I see the leaders standing up in the states and taking possession of their state and actually working to build a government properly and working and legislating and doing the things that the state needs to do and creating their own autonomous government, which is what we encourage. And now we're starting to see the counties level start to kick in and the people in the county start to stand up and doing the same thing. And this is catching on across the nation. And I see the numbers starting to change and increase and actually starting to see professional people. We're still seeing, in some of the states, we're seeing a big influx of law enforcement. Officers are actually joining the Republic. That was a surprise to me a few weeks ago when I started seeing that, but it's beginning to happen now.
Do you think that those, that again, that could be, on, you know, those that you're going to have to call to from that?
Well, I'm sure there'll be some, but the vast majority of them are part of organizations like the Oath Keepers, and they've already stood up and publicly announced what their intent is. But there's no perfect group of people. We're going to be infiltrated. We're going to be invaded. You're going to have every kind of problem that you can imagine, probably trying to keep it clean. But I will tell you that we're going to win this war. This is a fight that we're going to win because it's a righteous fight. And I can tell you without reservation that this is not my republic. This is not our republic. This is God's republic. And it was his idea, and he's going to bring it to pass.
Now, I think another thing that people need to be aware of, it, there wasn't that many that really created this country in the first place. And again,
there were 56 men.
So that's how much of a percent of...
56 out of 3 million, figure it out.
Okay. Yeah, but they weren't... But when it came about, there had to be more that backed that up.
There weren't that many. There was... you could put them all in one pretty small room, because I've been in the room. There was 72 or 77, I don't remember the exact number, but it was in the 70s, that actually did the legislation and created for the first 13 colonies, they created the Republican system that we re-inhabited. And that's where it started.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's grown a lot today. We have 379 million Americans approximately in this country today instead of 3 million. But that's just more people to get on board.
Okay, now, two questions here. Now, again, see, that just goes to show you that it doesn't take that many to make this kind of change, and it is just a small percentage, again, of elites that have been ruling this world all along.
That's correct.
And so what does it take for a person to be a, since you can't use the word citizen, how would you describe it?
You can be a citizen of the Republic if you'd like to be, if you want to call yourself that. Well, we call ourselves members. We're part of this, we call ourselves Americans more than anything. That's what we refer to ourselves as Americans.
Okay.
That's what we are.
So in
we're
order,
free men and women upon the land. That's who we are.
Would you even do you have to be born here? Do you have to have achieve some sort of?
You have to be born or naturalized under the original law.
Okay, all right.
You can be a naturalized citizen of the Republic.
Okay,
as well.
And so, how would they go about being naturalized in this?
Well, that's something that we're working on in Congress right now, actually, on a process. How do we do that? And they're studying the original process on how to do that. But I don't know that I can answer exactly how Congress is going to do that. It's not up to me to make that call. It's theirs.
Okay.
But they are working on that process right now, actually, to see how to bring people that are not born in the nation into the Republic. And I think that they'll come up with a fair way to do it. Right now, there's just a few documents you have to fill out. We have our documents printed out. It's not a lengthy process. It takes you just a short period of time to do it. And you can go on our website, republicfortheunitedstates.org, and do the read and see whatever you need to see and follow the links. You'll get to what you need, and you can download the documents and sign them. We also have people in each state. If you'll contact us, we have, if you'll check the website, you can find out who is in your area that you can talk to that can guide you through the process. We have people all over the country, so there's one near you somewhere.
And in, and then you are out in the media. Are you hitting a lot of the
I hit a lot of media when I can. I can't do it all the time because my work schedule is very tight. We put in an awful lot of hours doing the meetings, and a lot of meetings that we do are at night because of the different time zones. And I do a tremendous amount of calls, and we also do a lot of office work and documents and things. And it's a full-time job, so I do as much media as I can. But I could be on shows three times a day if I would. There's a huge demand.
Well, you've got other people.
I can't do them all.
Well, you've got Kelby Smith doing some.
I do, and I'm trying to get C.W. Wright, who is the vice president as well, to do some, and he has done some. And we kind of alternated around, and this is my week, I guess. But anyway, because I'm doing the shows this week, Kelby has done a lot of shows for us, and we're looking for other people to be spokesmen for the Republic as well, because we can't cover all the media outlets that won't want us to talk. There's a huge interest in the Republic in this nation, and it's impossible for us to cover all the bases with the few people that we have, because we don't want just anybody speaking. We want somebody on there that can answer your questions accurately and communicate to the public what we're trying to do and who we are.
Well, you also have conference calls, is that correct?
Oh, yes. We have conference calls on every Wednesday night is open to the general public. You can go on the website and get that information. I think it's at 6 o'clock, I believe, every Wednesday night. Sometimes I address the people. Sometimes I can't, but we have a panel of people that explain the Republic and how you become a part of the Republic. Very good call. We have a lot of response from that call. And we have other calls throughout the week. We have a Monday night prayer call that's open for anybody. Just general prayer. You can pray on the call or you can ask for prayer on the call. We have ambassador calls. We have congressional calls. We have calls every night of the week, pretty much. And on a Sunday night, and it's open for everybody, we have a fireside chat. Not every Sunday, but occasionally on Sunday, I do a fireside chat and talk about topics of the day and issues that we're facing and different things. It's open to everybody. You can come on and listen. And we have an email address where you can send comments and things. One day we may be able to open that up for questions, but right now we haven't done that yet at the fireside chat. But on Wednesday night, you can come on and ask questions if you have any. And we have, like I said, we have calls constantly, it seems. I've been on three today. This is my third one today.
Okay, now you're gonna appear on, is it R.J. Hinder's program tomorrow?
I'll be on R.J. in the morning at 7 a.m. Pacific.
Okay, and because I didn't find a whole lot of different programs, although that doesn't mean that, you know, I did that thorough of a search on this, but you seem to work within a certain community at this point, because obviously, you know, getting out in the mainstream media isn't an option yet?
Not yet. We have talked to CNN. They are not opposed to what we're doing, but until we have the funding to do what we need to do, we can't, of course, purchase time. We actually talked to them about purchasing CNN itself, and that might be an option for us. We do have plans when we do get the final funding in to do some media, an extensive amount of media, radio, TV, internet, magazines, newspapers. We're going to cover the whole gamut, and we're going to put this out to the people. And I think that the American people, if it's explained properly to them, that we're not a bunch of kooks and crazies. We're just like they are. We're working Americans that just want our kids and grandkids to have a future. And they can understand that. They can relate to that.
Well, how do you think it'll be received among the current Congress, you know, and representatives that have already, you know, believe that they're the current representatives?
Well, we've actually been contacted by some and was received quite well. However, I believe that the majority of them probably wouldn't even take the time of day to investigate it. They don't really understand it, and I don't think they take the time to understand it. But there are members of Congress that do understand it and do support our efforts.
So, I keep coming up with all these different questions, but as there was a press release that you had on your website, and it was dealing with some of the myths and controversy that you've been having to go through. Is there any of that that you would like to address?
Well, we're constantly being bombarded. You have to understand that the de facto corporation, there are certain elements in the de facto corporation that don't really care about truth and injustice. They're about control. They don't care if it's right or wrong, or they're indifferent about that. They don't want to give up their power and their control. And those folks have infiltrated our republic. Some of them have. They're professionals, and they're constantly putting out rumors, innuendo, and outright lies about the things that we're doing, what we're doing. They take every word that I say and they twist it and try to manipulate it to make it say something that I didn't say. And if I write it or if I speak it, it doesn't matter. It's going to be done that way because these folks are disinformation agents. They do work for the corporation. We have purged our ranks of many of them already, and there are a few left, and we're working on them now. But that's their job, so we shouldn't expect any different. We know they infiltrated them because I had a friend that was in the meeting when they did it in Washington. She was in the meeting when it happened, and she called me and told me about it, told me that they were going to do it quite some time ago. In the early days when we were under wrap, they said they were going to do that. And so we're under attack constantly, but we ask the people to take a look at not what they hear, but go to the website, explore it, investigate. That's why I tell people, do your research. Well, I don't have to convince you if you already know. If you know the truth, if you know what the law says, you know what the early founding fathers did, I don't have to convince you. When you see this republic and the way we structured it, you'll already know that it's right and it's done properly. You won't have to worry about the rest of that foolishness because I won't have to convince you.
Well, one of the things you got to realize too, and you brought this up earlier, is if we go through this collapse, which, you know, if you listen to many that seems imminent, we do have to have something there in place, or ultimately it'll just be another coup again.
Well, it's already pretty well set that if we don't have it, that the United Nations will move in here and take over with foreign troops, and that's pretty simple. That was set up by George Bush the first senior in 1991. The law was passed, actually an executive order that was passed. Signed into law, and it's still on the books, that will allow them to do that in the event that there is a full-scale breakdown of the American government. They can do that. They don't even have to have the permission of Congress to do it. It's already there.
Well, we've already, don't our troops already merged with other nations?
Well, yeah, they do a cooperative effort, but I can tell you that the troops of America are not going to come over here and occupy their own country against their own people and fire on their own people. The American military won't do it. They just won't do it.
No, I understand that, but in the meantime, there has been like a blending of where written in our laws, we have the states our current original boundaries, and yet they've been blending a lot of these things into regions, getting out away from our local government entities, and so.
Right. So when it collapses, though, those things won't exist. I'll tell you how easy the transition will be. The day that they finally have to just shut the doors, and it's going to come. It's got to come because they just can't continue. At some point, nobody's going to accept the dollar anymore. When that happens, they're going to have to shut it down. There's no point. They'll have to lock the doors and go home because nobody's going to pay them anymore. They can't pay the bills. Well, that's what happens to any corporation. Remember, Washington is simply a corporation. It's no different than IBM, Sears and Roebuck, Sprint, any of the other corporations in the world. It's just a big one. But the law applies the same. When they are insolvent, they can't pay their debts, and they can't reorganize, and they have no assets, then they go out of business. That's simple.
Well, even the local governments are that way, right?
Yeah, all governments are that way. Almost all governments. There are a few, I think, that are different, but not many. The republic itself being in place is a huge thing that people don't realize the importance of. Because when that happens, all we have to do is step in and tell everybody, okay, take a couple of days off, come back to work Monday morning, you're going to come back with a 30% pay raise, because you're not going to have an IRS anymore. You're not going to have illegal taxes. You're going to come back to work Monday morning, you won't owe a mortgage anymore because the Federal Reserve System collapsed. There's nobody to collect it. So you're going to get your house back, free and clear, and you're going to get a 30% pay raise. And what do you think the people are going to do? I don't think they're going to be rioting in the streets. I think they'll be dancing in the streets.
Well, what about the bankers that are utilizing the taxation system? And are they going to be, you know, on board with this?
It doesn't matter if they're on board. They're going to be out of business just like the corporation. When the corporation and the dollar goes down, all of them go down with it.
Okay. So, well,
they don't have any options.
You have to cover a whole lot of bases when you're doing what you're doing then.
Yes, you know, I do. We have covered many, 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 many bases.
And
we do have a very progressive and a very workable plan. It's awesome what we have in place as a small government that we are, and not very powerful government, as you could imagine, with very little resources at this point, but that's about to change. And we have one of the most incredible business plans that you can imagine. And we've got some smart people in this republic. We're going to revolutionize this nation in just a matter of, we're going to revolutionize it in just a matter of days, literally. People are going to be dancing in the streets because when they see what we have done and the structure that we have built to catch them when they fail, they're going to be happy because they're going to have more disposable cash, less debt, and a steady job still because of our efforts.
Well, wouldn't a lot of their debt be, when you're saying less debt, who's going to be the ones to call it on that? Because a lot of
the private debt is not affected by a collapse of the banking system.
Okay.
You know, there may be some private debt that we don't have any control over, but the public debt that was done by promissory notes that were sold, that will be, it'll just be gone. It just won't be there anymore. Won't be anybody to send you payment to, so what do? Who are you going to send your credit card payment to if you owe a card, if you have a Chase card and it goes out of business, where do you send your payment?
Okay, now, do you know when you're, this money, I mean, because I know that you've been waiting for this money for a while. And
yes.
And any time that I've ever observed these bankers and whatever, they love to make you squirm. Mm. And since they're the same bankers that were the ones that make you squirm, what would make them any different than being sitting back there knowing, realizing that you can't do anything until you have that backing? So,
well, I'm not working with those bankers, though.
Oh, okay.
We're working with people that so far above them, they're insignificant to them.
Okay, well, all right. So that, because I could just see where they would be trying to, you know, control the strings to these other investors.
Right. You got to understand the people that we're dealing with don't have a dog in the hunt, except they want the Americans to win. They want the American system to be reestablished because their corporations that are making all of these widgets that they sell in America, if this collapses, they're going to lose that business. And they don't want to lose it. They're making money off of us anyway. And they're doing quite well. So it's beneficial to them to keep America on track. So, and that's the way they look at it. It's not that they want to hustle the government or anything. They just want to keep America working so that they can keep selling their widgets.
And I can understand that. I mean, that would make more sense to me than what I'm seeing happen, where all these different corporations are being gobbled up, and it's like it's down to one corporation that gets the concession to run, say, the water systems, or those that get to run the military, or those that get to build the cars. I mean, it's mm-hmm. as though they're down to who's the highest bidder and who gets to run that particular aspect of commerce.
Right. Well, since the early 1900s, particularly after 1910, you got to understand that all of the laws were structured and passed to benefit the large corporations, and actually to strengthen the large corporations and make it more difficult on the smaller businesses, mom and pop businesses, so to speak. That was done intentionally for the last 100 years in our country. And what our plan is, and our business plan, we're going to deregulate a lot of that stuff, the stuff that doesn't need to be, and we're going to balance the playing field, and we're going to make money available through our SBA to mom-and-pop organizations, again, at a very affordable rate to promote industry in the nation. And as a result, industry is going to thrive, because remember I told you that everybody's going to have a minimum of 30% increase and take home pay overnight to spend. They're going to have a lot more disposable income. They're going to have hardly any debt. So what are the people going to do? They're going to start spending. They're going to start buying new cars. They're going to start building new homes. They're going to start doing the thing, going on vacations. They're going to start going out to dinner more. They're going to buy better food, better clothes. They're going to do the things that people do that have plenty of disposable cash. Somebody's got to build that stuff. So we've got to get the private industry sector up and running so that they can go out and build the things that the people want. And in the process, we're also going to, as we increase the private sector, we're going to decrease the public sector into the private sector so that the people that we have to cut from the federal government and the state governments, they'll go transition into the private sector, and they won't be what I call tax sponges anymore. So in the process, we're going to significantly reduce the size of government at every level and increase the productivity. We're going to have an industrial-based economy because we're going to take care of some of these foolish regulations that we have. Not all of them. Some of them are very important. But the ones that were put in place to make it an unfair advantage for the large corporations. And there are thousands, literally thousands of those laws on the books. We're going to deregulate that. We're going to make money available for mom and pops who are creative, that want to have their own business. And you're going to see this economy hum in no time. The American people, all they need is opportunity and hope and ability. They will absolutely build an economy in no time. You won't be able to recognize America in the first year after we take our rightful place as the government in this nation.
Now, tell me if I'm incorrect or not, but didn't Hitler do something along that line, or create in Germany after the World War One, so that those people were actually able to, really start being very industrious and prosperous, and then...
He did, but the problem with Hitler is that the state owned everything.
Okay.
And the state's not going to own everything with us. Actually, we're going to turn it all back to the people. They're going to own their own businesses. We will loan them money to get started, and with favorable terms so that they can make it work. But the bottom line is they're going to own the business. The state won't own it.
Okay. And so ultimately, where does that put your monarchies and things of that sort? Are they just going to be out of the picture here, or I can't imagine?
I don't know. I can't answer that for all the countries, but I do believe that this model will be followed in many countries around the world. But I think you'll always have some monarchs. I don't believe that every nation wants to get rid of their kings.
Uh-huh.
Kings and queens are important to some cultures, and they just don't have to be that important to Americans.
And as far as being the military power that we've been, where do you see that happening with that aspect? Because somehow
Well, the military is a very simple thing as well. When
when the economy collapses and we hold the purse strings, they're going to come to us. That simple. That's all they can do. They will migrate to our position.
Okay, because ultimately we're occupying bases in many places of the world at this point in time. And I don't know about you, but that to me sends a different kind of message than what the original founding documents were meant to convey.
And one thing I will say about the military, I'm not happy about the way the military is operated today. And it's not because of the military people, it's because of the politicians that are trying to tell the military how to operate. The bottom line is that the people in the military need to run the military. We need, and if you put the people in the military in charge of the military, you'd see many of these bases closed and people come home. They're not there because they want to be. They're there because Washington tells them to be. And they're there to promote a corporation somewhere or protect a corporation. Many of our military, sad to say, are nothing more than paid mercenaries to protect corporations. Now, it's not the military people's fault. They don't know that. And God bless our military. I support them 100%. One of my pet peeves is the way our military people are treated. They're starved. If you're a private in the army in a foreign country, your family would have to be on food stamps just to survive, and if you could do that.
Now, I've interviewed a number of different people and aspects that's, around that.
There's no excuse for that. That's a disgrace and a slap in the face of the American people. We've got to take care of our soldiers. When they come home and they're wounded, they shouldn't have substandard medical care. They should get the best in the nation. These are heroes. We need to treat them as such.
And not have to prove that they're disabled to get that care as well.
That's insanity.
Right.
It's intentional. It's actually intentional.
Yeah, no, I understand. And are exposing them to a lot of things that they
yes,
shouldn't
they
have
are.
To be exposed to. And do you have
exposing
many...
Exposing the whole American people to everything, to things they shouldn't be.
Right. And do you have many youth involved?
Actually, we do have quite a few coming on board. It's just a new thing coming up, but we are starting to see an interest in the youth.
And any leaders in that group? You see?
There are a few. Yeah, there are a few across the country. I can't say that there are any that are really, I'm trying to get some Twitter people on right now. We've got a few of them coming on board, but we're trying to get them to start up Twitter groups for us. Seems that that's a very popular thing right now, and it actually is very effective.
Okay.
But we're looking for more and more.
You know, and I know we're winding down here, but I want to get, I realize one of the first things that I do when I, you know, try to do like an internet search and whatever is, you know, you used to go in there and you start looking for the pros and the cons and whatever, and you know, that I mean, that's it does pop up on dealing with this particular issue. I've run into it on the media that I listen to, and you know, I wasn't sure there for a while, and yet again, when it still comes around for me to be able to say, you know, how would anybody get started? You know, anybody that's going to have any good intent is going to get nothing but a lot of opposition as well as support. And
yes, that's with any new idea. We don't accept change very well.
Go ahead.
But we are at the point now that the recognition has started. The people, not only here but around the world, have recognized the Republic, and you're going to see a big change in this country when we start being recognized in foreign countries. We will be recognized in foreign countries publicly before we will be here. That starts, it's going to start here too.
I mean, I don't doubt that because I even when I get into people that think outside of the box within, say, like the scientific community, and they go through the same thing when they start saying, wait, I don't think like the rest of you. There may be, you know, there may be another way. And when you're only given false choices or controlled choices, then we have killed our ability to think outside the box and to create something that works, because ultimately we wouldn't be here if, you know, we hadn't been kind of led to this point, right?
That's correct. This is actually a divine thing. This thing was orchestrated by the Almighty. It was not my idea. This was his idea. And he compelled me to do this and many others. That's what was amazing to me, is about the same time, he compelled many others to do the same. And it's absolutely been a great experience for me. Been a lot of troubles and a lot of trials. And I didn't realize going into this how much that a person could be demonized for doing good work and giving everything they have and risking their life for their fellow man. But one day, all the naysayers are going to be shut up soon, and this republic will be put in its proper place among the governments of the world.
And again, your website is Republic for the United
yes.
States of America?
Yes, right. Republic for the United States of America.org. Go on that site and start learning about the republic. And many of you will find once you do that you support the ideals, the same ideals. You know, what's wrong with doing what the Creator said? Love your fellow man. Love God and love your fellow man. That's all He said to do. And that's what we do. And we're absolutely nonviolent. We don't believe in violence. We don't promote violence. In fact, I've told our people that we can't do this with violence. It won't work. The only way we can do it is nonviolent. That's the only way it will work. If we were to resort to a violent effort to take over the government, it wouldn't work, but we would lose. Just because of the structure of the way the world is, it just could not work that way. But because of the Creator and His principles, He's in charge, and He's been in charge all the time. And what He is doing, because we have chose that path of nonviolence, He has chosen to give us the wealth of the world to back this republic. And when that transformation takes place and the wealth is transferred to us, everything else will be transferred to us as well. We will be the government in this nation.
And when you took this position, did you plan on being with it for very long, or is this just in the initial setup of this process?
Honestly, I didn't want the position when I was asked to take it. I told them, I said, you guys don't have any clue what you're asking me to do. You're destroying the rest of my life. I'm a very private individual normally. I have a little farm in Alabama. I enjoy going out there working on my tractor in the dirt. I'm just as happy as a clam at high tide to be out there doing that. And I tell them all the time, you guys have absolutely wrecked my life.
Well, you know, I want to thank you for coming, making yourself available. I was hoping I would have gotten to interview you a couple of months back when I did it, my other radio program, but I did get to interview Kelby Smith, and that's on Oracle Broadcasting. But I do want to thank you for your candor, and you pretty well answered every question I could think of. So.
Well, you know, as in, like I tell somebody, I've had people listen to several of my broadcasts. They said, you say the same thing every time. I said, well, you don't have to remember what you say when you tell them the truth. And this republic is the greatest movement that has been in this country since the beginning. The founding fathers established this nation. And the people of the nation need to get behind it and support it. We need their support. We need their help. We need them to come in and stand up and be leaders. Let the leaders stand up and be leaders. We need them. And I encourage them to do, because most of the people in this republic are working very, very hard, long hours, for no pay, and it's really difficult. We need to share the load a little bit, because we all are very much taxed right now. And we need the people of America to understand that we're here doing this for you. We're not doing this for ourselves. We're doing it for you, just as much as we are for us and our own children. And we want you to be involved. We want you to be a leader in this republic. And we welcome you. And like I said earlier, we don't want anything from you. We just want you to stand up and help us to right the things that are wrong in America.
And I have to commend you for doing that. So thank you again. And I hope your continued efforts are fruitful and
thank you, Melody, and thank you, and God bless you. Thank you for having us on the call tonight, and I appreciate your efforts as well.
Okay, good night.
Good night.